Blog Talk Radio.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Hello? We on live.
Okay, who's talking now, Ray?
Who's on now? It's you.
Oh, good evening. Good evening. This is Blog Talk Radio, and the program is Bible. It's Bible Question and Answers on tonight. And we'd love for you to call in for your Bible Question and Answers on tonight. If you have any questions or even comments, please call in on tonight. We're talking about churches, and I don't mean different name churches. We're talking about the church that's in the one book, the Bible. There's only one church in the Bible that you can that you will be become a member of. We need to note that we must obey that one church, and the Bible instructs us on how to do that. And that will help us. So we get to do that. And people are coming up with one name after another name and calling it a church that God ordained. God did not ordain that.
Thank you.
And I'd like for you to know this, too. I'd like for you to know some other stuff. Because when you're talking about that, you done gone crazy or something like that. You got to understand that God only gave us one church, and that one church is in Acts chapter 2, where we find where Peter, the Apostle Peter, preached the first gospel sermon in the Bible. And all of those 3,000 people that were added to the church were members of that church that's in the Bible. And we got to recognize that and understand that. Where did we get all these different names? Ooh, we have one church after another church. And that is ridiculous. And we find out now that corporate Christianity is taking over our nation. If we are one nation, if we were one nation under God, you would know that God wouldn't have all these different beliefs and teachings that you hear out here. There's some ridiculous stuff going on, and we see it from day to day. And give the people what the people want is what is happening. Now, this has happened periodically, even from the beginning, when Eve gave Adam a piece of the forbidden fruit off the tree. You see, these things have been going on earth ever since then. That which God commanded us not to do is being done here on earth. And we have to stop it. And not only that, even in the one true church that's in the Bible, we find that, Lord have mercy, some of our members are not doing as they are instructed to do. And that's most important, especially in times like here now. Sin is becoming outrageous in America. It's something that we never thought we would live to see. It's the type of ridiculousness, the ridiculous things that are going on in this country. Now, those of you who are young people, and I mean they're teenagers, you may not can see it, that if you live to get 60, 70 years old, you'll look back and you might see a change if this country stands. As we know America now, it's going to fall. It's on the way down and out. Amen? Now, let's look at something. The drugs now. Drugs, you don't hear much talk about them because some states have approved it legal in their state. And any state that want to legalize drugs can legalize drugs. And you don't hear too much going on about the drugs. They're everywhere still. Then we got some people that were raised up under drugs whose lives are worthless. Some went to rehab and got a grip back on their life. But there are millions that are totally wiped out right now. Our prisons are full. These homes where they let people live that can't know how to work and they're mine and they get a check every month. You got all of that going on in America. We are supporting that which is wicked and outrageously ungodly. This country has become a wicked country. Paul told us in Romans 1, thinking ourselves to become wise, they have become fools. America, let's embrace that scripture. Thinking ourselves to be wise, we have become a foolish nation. It's a sickening situation. Sometimes when I think about it and preach about it, it just makes me sick in my mind to see this foolishness, outrageous foolishness going on in a nation that was admired by other countries. A nation that other nations looked up to because of how we had been blessed by the Creator. And now we don't even respect God. This nation now is in terrible shape. And listen, when you say nation, you're not talking about just people in the White House. You're talking also about the people in the states, in the outhouses, and in their own home houses. We're talking about that the people right here, if you look at the people that live in America, how terrible they have become right now. It is ridiculous just to think about it. You better be watching yourself when you're at a store or when you're driving. You might get shot at. You might get run over. You may somehow run into the store and kill 8 or 9 people. We got some outrageous foolishness going. Now, what we're talking about is, look, the only prescribed remedy for this foolishness going on is in the Word of God. We must repent. That means to change and go back to God. Now, everybody's not going to do that. But the prayers of the righteous availeth much and brings forth much. Those of us that are living right, we need to fall on our knees and just pray to God. Keep praying. Now, there are two reasons why. Prayers of the righteous, number one, availeth much or bring forth much. But not only that, God has always, always protected his own. And you know something? When we do right in the midst of a situation as bad as we have in America, we can then, we all of us got to leave here, but the Bible told us to make our calling and election sure. And if you're doing the right thing in the midst of all this hell that's going on in America, you will be saved. Way! That's a wonderful thing. That's a gracious thing. to see the Creator, the light of truth in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation here on this earth. United States, we used to be united with God, but now you have declared yourself as a terrible one that hates God, telling God he's a liar, making laws against righteousness. When has it ever been right? It wasn't right when we didn't know nothing about the dope in the Bible. Drunkenness would send you to hell. If you be a drunkard, you'd be going to hell. So what if you say hi all the time? Get you some of that dope and say hi all the time. That'll send you to hell too. Now what's the difference? And not only that, those folk out here on that dope, they taking other people to hell with them too. We need to repent as a nation. We need to stop this foolishness. And now we've even gone further than that. We now don't want to get married, amen? More shacking and racking and whoremongering and fornicating going on than the Lord allowed in America today. That is totally ridiculous. And we as a nation are on our way down to fall as a nation. And if you think about it, read your history book. You see in your history book, many, many people are just falling. And they fell in our history books. The country fell. And if you look at the Bible, you find where God destroyed many one of those nations in the Bible. So that's what we have to recognize, that God himself is moving on this earth, has always been moving on this earth. And we got to recognize it, and we need to now check ourselves before we wreck ourselves. We got to get ourselves right now for God. Live right. Do right. Do all of what God is commanding us to do. Amen? Because times are getting more horrible than ever. And all we got to do is look in our books and we'll see what God has commanded us to do. Now, what we're messing up now real bad, and I mentioned this in the beginning, is the fact that we do not respect the church that's in the Bible. If you look at it, churches now have become the new nightclubs. Amen? The Sunday morning nightclubs. But all the music and all kinds of stuff that people want to hear is now in churches that make them feel good. Ooh, you can feel good. Tell them what they want to hear, and then make them feel good. And that's all you got to do. And you can name your church anything that you want to. See, Christ built the church. Christ shed his blood for the church. Christ was the Son of God. Came down in flesh and he lived the life. He set the example that we might be saved today. He built the church. He died for us. You know what he told us to do? Get in the church. Whosoever will, let him come unto Christ. Live that life that Christ has commanded us to do. You know, in Acts chapter 2, sometimes when you just get your Bible and start reading there, and you find Peter preaching that gospel sermon. Peter, Acts chapter 2 and verse number 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye supposed, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants, and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before that great and noble day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you, may by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also knew. Hooray! Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain him. Why you killing, Peter said, a man whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Father God raised him up, because death could not hold him. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also, my flesh was rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to be corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with my countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and is his sepulcher
is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God hath sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins also to the flesh he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Jesus rose up just like he went down. He rose up after he was crucified. Verse 32. Then Jesus has God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he that himself, the Lord, said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes my footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God, that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Hooray! Hooray! Isn't that a blessing to us? Now, Peter kept on preaching. Acts 2:37. Open your Bibles. Keep reading. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked a cut in their heart and said unto Peter and unto the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, this acknowledgement of the gospel of Christ, Peter said that Christ is the Savior. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father. He's shed in blood, ooh, that we might be saved. And these people in Acts chapter 2, they said, what shall we do? Verse number 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent. Repent. Listen. Listen. Non-believers, you got to repent. Not only repent. He said, and ordinating conjunction, joining two things of equal power together. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, by the authority of Jesus Christ, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Baptism is commanded unto human beings if they want to be saved from all their past sins, live the right life as a member of the body of Christ. And that's only one church. Christ, only one church. Only one church. He said, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse number 38. 39. For the promise is unto you and your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. God calls you with the gospel. The gospel, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Why? For the time will come that men will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, unto themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn their ears away from the truth, and be turned unto fable. This was the first gospel sermon preached, Acts chapter 2. They said, what must we do? And I said, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation, from this crooked generation. Oh, come on, Peter, you tell them, man, we got to tell y'all right now. Turn away from the wickedness that's going on in this country. Obey the gospel. Now, notice what he did. He many other words. Verse 41. Then they that gladly, listen, you got to receive the word of God with gladness in your heart. You see, some people get, I want to do something, cuss you out or something like that when you tell them about Jesus. You know, you can't help those people. Let them keep on cussing and going on the hill. You got a right to go to hell. Do you hear me? You got a right to go to hell. We don't want to take hell away from you if that's what you want. Go ahead on and go to hell. Either God gave you a mind to either do his will or don't do it. So if you don't want to do it, fine. Don't try to stop nobody else from doing it. You got a right to go to hell. That's where you want to go? Go. Bye-bye. See you. Don't want to be you. Verse 41. That gladly received the word, were baptized. Now, you know how you become a member of the Church of Christ, the one true church, the only church in the Bible? You got to hear the word, Acts 15 and verse 7. After there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said, men and brethren, you know, a good while ago that God told me that we cannot take trust among ourselves, that all men, can be baptized. Then you've got to not only hear it, you got to believe it, Hebrews 11 and 6. But you know, faith, you must have faith in order to obey the word of God. Then you've got to confess your faults. Then you got to repent, Luke chapter 13, verse 3 and verse 5. And after you confess, then you are baptized into Jesus Christ. Five steps. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and then be baptized. Baptism is important. Why? Because when Jesus was on that cross, that centurion pierced him in the side. And the Bible says, forthwith there out came blood and water. When Jesus shed his blood on the cross, it was poured on the earth. Now, what do you think miraculous blood would do? Jesus had the same blood type as his father. Amen. Ooh-ray. Jesus had miraculous blood. And when that centurion pierced him in the side, the Bible says, forthwith there out came blood and water. When you were baptized, Luke chapter 3. You're born again when you're baptized. How are you born? If you hear the word, believe the word, repent of your sins, confess, and be baptized, You are born afresh, born again. In other words, how did you get that birth? Your blood type changed. You then was initiated with the blood type of Jesus Christ. That's why you are commanded to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Hooray! Because you have his blood type. And you grow as a Christian. You grow as a Christian. You have the action part of the Godhead. And the Holy Spirit. And when you live the right life, God's going to take care of you to the day you die. He makes a way out of no way for you. It's things that happen in your life that you can't tell nobody else. They won't even understand it. And then I had a person tell me, "You're lying. How are you going to tell me I'm lying? You're not a Christian." Live that life. Walk in the footsteps. Because baptism give you a new birth. That means all of your past sins were washed away. You're born afresh. You'll be blessed by God. That's the whole key. Verse 42. And they that continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread. And fear came upon all the souls, and many wondered. When he preached that sermon, when they became members of the church, and fear came upon all the souls, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common. You see, these people that may have been in the church, this minister of those, or some minister, get some apostles, I mean, get him some deacons with him. Hooray! And he go down and get a 501c and put a name that he want to put on that church. You can't find it in the Bible. Hooray! The only church that exists on planet Earth is the church that Christ died and shed his blood for it. And it is a church of Christ. Church what? From Christ. Oh, it came from the man who died. If I buy a new car and give it to you, and I want it back, where do you get that church, that car from? That's the car, Parker. That's Parker's car. It's from him. Christ shed his blood for the church, and it's his church. All of these different names that you hear and see, and they're making more and more of them. They're not of Christ. That church that Peter preached and those people became members of them, that was Christ's church, the first church, and that was in A.D. 33. The next church that we have record of was in 600 A.D., the Roman Catholic Church. In 1520, Germany, the Martin Luther Church. 1534 A.D., Henry IV, the Episcopalian Church. 1536 A.D., in Switzerland, the Presbyterian Church. 1850 A.D., in England, Robert Browner started the Congregational Church. Each one of these churches was started by somebody, some human being, not by Christ. The Roman Catholic Church in 606 A.D., Boniface III started it. In 1520 A.D., the Lutheran Church, Martin Luther started it. In 1534 in England, the Episcopalian Church Henry VIII started it. In 1536 AD, Switzerland, John Calvia started the Presbyterian Church. In 1550 AD, in England, Robert Brown started the Congregational Church. These are men who started these churches. In Holland, in 1606-7 AD, the Baptist Church was started by John Smyth. In England, in 1739 A.D., John Wesley started the Methodist Church. In 1830 A.D., in America, Joseph Smith started the Latter-day Saint, the Mormon Church. In America, in 1830 A.D., William Miller started the Adventist Church in America in 1866. Mary Baker Eddy started the Christian Scientist Church in 1872. In America, Charles G. Russell started the Jehovah Witnesses Church. Now we have one church started by Mary Baker Eddy, one woman. See, you can start your own church. The only church in the Bible was started and is the only church is a church Christ died for, the Church of Christ.
Amen.
He has commandments of how to run it. He is the head of that church, the savior of the body. Notice what happened in Acts chapter 2, about verse, in A.D. 33, when the Church of Christ was started, the first church, verse 41, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And
Amen.
They continued daily in one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And he's still adding, even right now, to the church. The one true church. That's all we have in the Bible. That's all. Brother Brown, do we have any questions, anything online? Hello?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Yeah, we got any. Yeah, anybody have comments, questions? Is Brother Barco?
Yeah,
Parker. Oh, okay, good. Brother Parker.
Yeah, sir. Oh, yeah. It's, you know, I think Brother Parker Jr., we thank him for his Acts 2 explanation, you know, and I think it was a very adequate explanation on Christ and his church and the reason, the importance of being obedient to Christ. As opposed, you see men want to go and start his or her own church, but the only church that prevails in the end is Christ's church, the church that
Amen.
Jesus hung, bled, and died for, you know. So I just want to see if anyone had any questions about anything that was covered on this evening. Any questions?
Well, we'll take comments, too, if you have something to say about it. If there's any members of the body of Christ, we'd like for you to come on and say some words because you know you're in the right church. And explain some things, please.
Any questions or comments?
Yeah,
questions,
Brother Parker, do you have any statement to little talk for us right away?
No, I think you more than adequately covered Acts chapter 2 and Christ and his church, you know, and I just, you know, want the listening audience to come to realize and, and recognize that if you attend a church that's doing things a little bit different than the church of the Bible, then you have to question the institution that you're a part of. The church of the Bible took communion every Lord's Day. They didn't take it once every 3 months or once a month. They took it every Lord's Day. The church
Amen.
Of the Bible, a song unaccompanied. They didn't sing using mechanical instruments. The church of the Bible, they didn't have people in the pulpit referring to themselves with various religious titles, such as reverend and all these other titles that people use. So if you attend one of these churches who do things different, all we're asking you to do is just question within yourself and be honest with your own self. Question within
Right.
yourself whether or not that church is the one which belongs to Jesus Christ. In the Church of Christ, we teach Christ and Christ crucified, and we strive to give you book, chapter, and verse behind every single thing that we teach. We like to say, put some script with your lip. If you're going to do the talking, you got to have the scripture to back it up.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately, many denominations today do a whole lot of teaching, so-called teaching, but they have no script to back it up. So we got to stick with the scriptures. And that's what we strive very hard to do in the Church of Christ. Questions, comments.
Yeah, we want you to know that when you look up your history, if you look it up righteously, you will find out that the Bible only has one church in it. One church. And see, the only way that you can have everything done right is to obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, and that's the only way that you can be blessed and saved. And then walk in the footsteps of Jesus. You just live the life. Walk in the footsteps means that you must do according to what he did. Jesus just kept what he came here for. He came here to live the life and set an example for us that we might live the right life and that we can die and go in peace and go to heaven. We even make that call in election year, and when we leave here, we're in heaven. But I want to bring out one point that I always bring out. We got to understand that we can live the most wonderful life on earth and even achieve the life of heaven. Walk the streets of gold. If we just do what we're to do here, the best life any human being can live on earth is a Christian life. You know, everybody down here is trying to make a living, get a job, get a hustle, do something so that they can provide something for themselves. Now, we got a lot of people that get caught up on dope and all that kind of stuff. I'm not talking about those people necessarily. I'm talking about the human challenge. Go get all kind of degrees and everything else. Get PhD degrees, master degrees, BA degree, MS, whatever. Getting everything that they can so that they can get them a good job, making X amount of dollars a year, buy them a beautiful big house. With some brand new cars and everything out there, and thinking that they have achieved that which they should get. I'm going to tell you right now, all that stuff can come to you, but get Christ first. Get Christ first, and he will lead you in the direction that you can achieve. Look at these actors and big rich people that get stuff and get married and then get divorced and have to break up all the money that they got, and then they're living just poorly.
it lasts only a while. When you work for Satan, anything you get on this earth, it ain't going to be worth nothing at some point in time in your life. I met a man today
who had retired.
Now, he's got home health care, come by to take care of him. He lives in an apartment and all. He's been all kinds of places in the United States, big-time jobs and everything else, get that money. But he can't hardly even get around. I was talking to him, and he wanted to show me something on a map, and I had to hold the map for him because he was shaking. His nerves were so bad. No wife, nobody, living in an apartment. Ooh, hey. You see, if you're going to do right and live like God has commanded you to live, you're going to live the most wonderful life that you could have ever lived on earth. That's the blessing of being a Christian. That's a blessing of obeying the gospel of Christ. That good news will help bless you. This one thing I do, Paul said, Philippians 3:13, forget about all that stuff behind. Press toward the prize of the mark of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. We got to understand that. Once you obey the gospel, those of you that are listening now, if there's a Church of Christ anywhere in your area, if you want to call Brother Parker to come to church there with him at the Darren Luke Church of Christ, he's going to give you the information right now after I finish this. He'll tell you where to come. And we will baptize you into Christ Jesus. Then you walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Live the life. Live that life. Do right. Amen. And Christ will bless you with the greatest life that you could have ever lived here on planet Earth. Believe me. There are people that got a whole lot of stuff. Big houses, two or three different cars, all kinds of cars and stuff like that. And you look up and you talk with them and you get to see them, they're just as happy as they can be. Many of them kill themselves. We see people you've seen on, if you look at the news here in this area, in the Houston area, you see where this older man, he had gotten sick and everything, and his wife was sick too. He killed her. Killed himself. I think the bullet went through his head and hurt his son. You see, stuff and things on earth, they do not come first. Christ must come first in your life if you're going to live the life that Christ has commanded you to live and enjoy this earth and achieve what Christ knows you can achieve and bless you, and you will be so happy you don't know what to do. Believe me. Believe me. Brother Parker, the fourth.
Yes, sir.
Are
you
there?
You hear me?
Yes, sir. Tell them about the direction or whatever the address of the Darren Luke Church.
We invite you all to Darien Loop Church of Christ, 7014 Darien, D-A-R-I-E-N, Darien Street, Houston, Texas, 77028. You can come out. Our Bible class start at 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings. Worship service start at 10 a.m. And we have an afternoon worship service at 4 p.m. On Wednesday night, Bible class is at 6 p.m. And we welcome you. We welcome all visitors. Come out and visit us. And we guarantee that we'll stick with the truth. We're not going to give you our opinion of what we think. The only thing that we give and that we teach is the Word of God. So please come on out.
Amen. Amen. Are there any questions or comments? We'll take comments, please. Acknowledgements or whatever you might have on your heart, you say it. But Byron,
yeah,
anybody?
Y'all let them know if they got a question. Just press number one. The number one button on your phone,
right.
And I can open your mic. Press the number one button at this time. Any questions? Okay, we got one coming.
All right.
Hello, this is Doug. Can you guys hear me?
Hey, Doug.
Yeah,
how you?
What's your name again?
Doug.
John? Okay.
Doug. I read quite a bit in the Bible, and there's a lot of times where, you know, like David might be praising God and dancing, and there's, you know, there's a lot in the Psalms about musical instruments, and I have a background from the International Churches of Christ where they did allow musical instruments in service, and I heard a couple of times that you're not supposed to, and I was wondering, what was that scripture reference that said, you know, says that we should not use instruments?
That's a very
right,
good
Will.
Question, Doug, and we appreciate your question. Appreciate you calling in, Doug. So there's a couple of scriptures. Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16 are two scriptures that we use. But I'd like to talk about those scriptures, especially Ephesians 5:19. And what those scriptures say, Ephesians 5:19 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Now, whenever you break that verse down, what it's saying is that if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, then believers, when they come together and when they sing, what they're doing is encouraging, edifying, and instructing one another. He says, make a melody in your heart. You know, in other words, you know, not on instruments, you know, not in any other way, but in your heart. It comes from the Greek word that means playing a string instrument, but the string instrument is not the guitar, because we know historically that did not, that wasn't even what he meant in that verse. So we say that the instrument we have is our heart strings, our heart. You know, the musical instruments of worship is also historical fact that when the early church gathered together, they did not use instruments. Instruments were actually added hundreds and hundreds of years after the Bible was even put together. So, and as a result, that's the reason why in the Church of Christ we don't use instruments today. So I think that's a very good question.
Yeah, I think you asked a wonderful question, because it is becoming outrageous in the world of churches, especially if it's totally out of order. It's like a nightclub. And then even in the church, it says, make that melody in your heart, in your mind. You know, when you get to singing, if you ever, you know, when you worship and you begin to sing, when you get in the moment of it. Because we got to understand, Jesus said, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them by his authority. So the Church of Christ has been commanded to worship on the Lord's day in five items. They got to keep that worship. Singing is just one of them. Now, we sing and we come to meet the Lord. And when you sing, you make that melody. Those songs become so beautiful. It ain't nothing fun about it. Gentlemen, you still there?
Am I still here? Yes.
I want you to sing with Brother Park and I right now. Let's make that melody in our heart. Let's sing. You probably know this song. Oh, how I love
Jesus.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
Hey, John, look here, man. That melody in our hearts. And you know, I notice that some churches that we have, like you said, there's some problems in some of the churches of Christ. That's part of my lesson. We got to stick with the book. Don't start giving the people what they want to give. When you do as Christ said to, that moment we just had just moved me, because I don't know where you live or but you told me who you are. But look at the melody that we speak into ourselves and our hearts. And that melody, it made me think about a lot of things. And I've been preaching quite a few years, now 57 years. And as I've been around, I go to churches, I just feel that feeling when that song is hit. Oh, Lord, have mercy, me. So that's wonderful. But we do not condone instrumental music in the church at all. And we got some of our churches now, the singers are boom banging and trying to be instruments. Have two or three different microphones in the church, you know, one tenor and one bass and all this kind of stuff, just doing everything to make the people feel good. And I believe the whole thing behind it is what we call corporate Christianity. The money. When people are happy, and this money our country has at one time been so great, I believe we're on the way down now. So great, people give more, and that's the way to get them to give, you know. And basically, one thing. Yes, Brother Parker, four.
Yeah, no, it's 8:28. They're going to get ready to shut us off. Any more questions or comments before we close?
Yeah, John, give us a statement. Did we answer your question, John? Brother Brown, is John on?
Still on.
Brother Brown. He's still on, but I asked him a question. But John, we enjoyed you. We loved you. Did you get your answer?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. He off now. He got off.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. Well, is there anybody else? Ray, Brother Parker, you can take over.
Okay. Anyone else got any questions?
Oh, no, sir.
All right. Let us close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we approach your throne. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for your spoken word. We thank you for your messenger and man servant, Brother Parker. We pray that you continuously bless him. Bless all true gospel ministers all over the world. All
Amen.
The missionaries, Father, we just pray that you would continue. Bless your church, Father. Bless your people in this world. And bless all that's going on, Father. Just help us to be better people in the future than we've been in the past. Thank you so much for your church, for your son, for you, for your spirit, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, sir.